Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. I'm so glad you are able to join us today. For the past several weeks before Thanksgiving, we were airing special excerpts from our CF Ministry Symposium this fall with Dr. Robert Morgan called Why Children Now. In his first session that we already aired, Dr. Morgan shared from Psalm 14 about our secular society that we are facing today. But in the second session, Dr. Morgan focuses and hones in on the gospel and talks about our spiritual response and our spiritual mission. Now, not later, is a time to reach others, especially our children and youth, with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoy this first part of a two-part series on our spiritual mission and why children now with Dr. Robert Morgan.
And that's really been the great mission of Child Evangelism Fellowship all through these years. CEF, the story begins back in the 1800s, really. I tell this story in Every Child, Every Nation, Every Day. But there was a blizzard that struck in England in 1850. And it was so bad in this little town that nobody hardly got out that day. But there was a thin man, we don't even know his name, but he wasn't the pastor of the church, but he felt an obligation to go. And so on this Sunday, January 6th of 1850, he got out of bed and wrapped his coat on and went to the church, got a fire going, waited to see if anybody would show up. Almost nobody did. Not even the preacher showed up. There was a little group of them that finally assembled in this terrible weather. And so they said, well, we've got to have a service so we can go home. And they looked at the thin man and they said, why don't you preach the sermon? He'd never preached before. He didn't have a sermon prepared. But he got up and he had been reading his Bible and he had come to a verse in Isaiah. So he just preached from that verse in Isaiah. Look to the Lord, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. And he did a very poor job of it. But he was near the end of trying to think of what he was going to say. And he looked back and there was a teenager sitting back under the balcony. And he looked at that young man and something impressed him to say, young man, you look miserable. You'll always be miserable until you look to Jesus. Well, that was about all he had to say, and they dismissed, and everybody went home. And I suppose if he was married, the man's wife said, well, how did it go? And he said, it was terrible. I had to preach. Everything was a disaster. I'm just glad it's over with. He did not know, as far as we know, he never found out that that 15-year-old teenager became, because of his conversion that day, the greatest preacher in the English-speaking church, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who had gone out looking for a church because he was battling depression as a 15-year-old, and he listened to those words, and he was converted that day, and he became the most famous Victorian preacher of his era. And anytime Spurgeon, who began preaching when he was 16 or 17, anytime he preached, there wasn't an auditorium big enough anywhere in England to hold the crowds that wanted to come and hear this young man preach. He was remarkable. I mean, he was converted that day because of this poor man's sermon. And every time Spurgeon would preach afterwards, there would be stenographers in the front, and they'd be writing down every word he said, and these were published. And his sermons became the single greatest set of books by one author in the history of Christianity, Spurgeon's sermons. And Spurgeon died when he was just 59 years old, but many years after his death, his books were still around, and there was a preacher about my age in California named Jesse Overholtzer. And Overholtzer was very, very discouraged. Nothing much was happening in his ministry and his work. And one day in his discouragement, he picked up a volume of Spurgeon's sermons. And he was reading in them. And he came to the phrase where Spurgeon had said in one of his sermons, a child as young as 5, if properly instructed, can be as truly born again as anybody else. And that struck Jesse Overholtzer. And he went out into his community and began to evangelize children. And after years of not seeing very much progress in terms of winning people to the Lord, suddenly people started coming to Christ, children, and then their parents, and then their families. And he became so excited about child evangelism that he went all over the United States starting child evangelism fellowship chapters in cities everywhere. He was doing this 80 years ago. And 79 years ago, CEF officially began. And so all of these years now, millions and millions and millions and millions of children hearing the gospel, and millions and millions and millions of them coming to Jesus Christ over 8 decades because of a sermon preached by a man who hadn't prepared it and who probably went home and thought he hadn't done any good at all. So it really encourages us to think of what the Lord can do with a word headed in the direction of a child or a teenager. And I want to tell you, children can be saved. They can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, most people who are ever saved come to the Lord when they are children. We did a survey once in our church, and we found that 80% of everyone attending our church had come to the Lord between the ages of about 4 and 15. So we have this window between 4 and 14 or 5 and 15, a decade in which people are unusually responsive to the gospel. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And so to be able to win a child to the Lord in these years when they are so open and before their heart closes and the window closes, that is incredibly important. And that has been the historic mission of CEF now in nearly every nation in the world. And we are taking the gospel to the most open, receptive, and fruitful mission field in the world, and that is the people who are between the ages of 5 and 15, or 4 and 14, somewhere in that decade of openness. And if we don't reach them by the time they're 16 or 17, the likelihood of them ever being reached is very, very low. And now here in the United States, we have a whole generation that will never hear of Christ unless we take it through CEF and through Good News Clubs and Christmas Across America and ministries such as this. I was preaching some years ago in Albany, New York, and I had a free afternoon, so I went touring and went walking around the state capital of New York State, and I sat down to have my lunch on a park bench, and a little boy came up to me, a local boy playing in the playground, lived nearby. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just having my lunch here." But he said, "What are you doing in the city?" And I said, "Well, I'm preaching in the church down the street there." He said, "What is preaching?" I said, "Well, I'm telling people about Jesus." When I said the word Jesus, he cupped his hand over his mouth and his eyes got big, and he said, "Mister, you just said a cuss word." And I realized the only time that fellow had ever heard of Jesus was as a profanity, as an oath. And that's true of a lot of children here in Peoria and in Illinois and up in Chicago, everywhere. That's the way that this is our society right now. And so to be able to go into the public schools, I said that in the 1950s, the Supreme Court and its infinite wisdom threw the Bible out. But in 2001, and what can only be described as a miracle from God, there was a reversal to some extent of that decision in a case that CEF brought before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court voted 6-3, I think, that CEF and other Christian organizations could have equal access to public schools if those schools had other programs and other groups were coming in. And suddenly the doors opened for us to get back into the schools and take the Bible back into the classroom without restriction on our content, and we can evangelize. And this is why in every community, local churches ought to be partnering with CEF to get Good News Clubs going in those local schools. We complain so much about the Bible being tossed out of the schools, but we can take it right back in. because children can be saved. Children can also learn to love the Scriptures. They can learn to be discipled in God's great book. And we know this because a lot of us began cutting our teeth on the Scriptures when we were very young. I remember once reading something that Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, said. The interviewer asked her, "Why is it that you are a student of the Bible, you love it so much?" Because she really did study the Bible thoroughly every single day, that Ruth Graham. She loved the Bible. And she said, "Well, I'll tell you why I'm a student of the Bible today. When I was growing up in China," her parents were missionaries there, "every morning when I came downstairs, I saw my father, a busy missionary surgeon. He was sitting at the desk reading and studying his Bible. And every evening when I went back up the stairs to go to bed, my mother, her day's work behind her, was sitting at the kitchen table doing the same." And she said, "I realized that even when I was a child, any book that could so capture and captivate the people that I love the most, my dad and mom, it must be a special book worth studying." And she said, "I began studying my Bible at a very young age based on the example of my parents." So I just wonder, our children, they see us surfing the internet and watching TV and maybe flipping through a magazine or reading a book, but do they see us pouring ourselves into God's Word every day? It has a tremendous influence on them. And then children that grow up in a home that has no presence of Christ or of the Bible whatsoever, but to be able to come to school and to find someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Bible in their hands, ready to say to them, "Here is what God has said for you. Here's the message He's got." Those children will just drink it up. They are hungry for it. Their hearts are made for it. And children can establish a code of morality when they're young. They can make decisions in their lives, spiritual decisions, that will have a moral impact for the rest of their lives.
Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations. I hope today you are blessed and encouraged as you remember anew God's heart for all to hear the gospel, including our precious children and youth who need to know and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ today. Thanks again, and we hope you join us again next week for the conclusion of our special messages this fall with Dr. Robert Morgan and Why Children Now.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
In all the festivities you will plan this Christmas season, what if you were to host a Christmas party with eternal significance?
Jesus is the great good news.
Christmas holds something extra for believers, and to share that with a child is to give a truly unforgettable gift. This Christmas season, partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship in Christmas across America. When you host a Christmas party for unchurched children in your area, you'll have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a child who has never heard the gospel. The choice of location for your party can be full of creative fun as well. Consider hosting a party at a home, daycare, local recreation center, or even at a toy store while the parents go shopping. You'll also receive fun game ideas, songs, and an interactive Christmas story to help you reach the next generation for Christ this Christmas. To learn more, call your local CEF chapter.
For more information, call 309-688-9699.